Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, if you're in the market for a new podcast, the Pod Squad are with me this Monday to tell me about the Formula One podcast, The Reserve Drivers.
Good news for everyone except Jack Doohan. Franco Colapinto has joined Alpine as their reserve driver. Colapinto said, "I had a fantastic time at Williams, but I'm excited to be joining a Formula One team." In his new role, Colapinto will make a number of appearances in the car and in Jack Doohan's nightmares. The decision was made by Alpine's executive advisor and star of the Italian remake of Castaway, Flavio Briatore, who says Alpine now has a great pool of young talent.
Yeah, that's just a very short clip into what the podcast is like. The Pod Squad this afternoon, our own Rory Galvin and journalist and stylist Laura Mullett are both with me in studio today. Good afternoon to you both, folks.
Hello.
Rory, you might explain to listeners first of all, what's this podcast about?
So it's kind of like an F1 comedy podcast. There's not too many of them. I'm usually used to listening to like more analytical stuff.
You're a Formula One
I'm in Formula nut. One nut. I'm huge in Formula One. So it's hosted by two Australian comedians. I think it's Tim McDonald and Luke Rocca. Don't really know who they are. I just kind of found them on the feed and I think they're hilarious, honestly.
So is it, would you describe it as being, you know, like something that unless you're a Formula One fan, this isn't for you? Or is it beyond that?
It depends. You could be like a little bit into Formula One, like if you watched a bit of Drive to Survive, if you've kind of seen like the feed on Twitter or the odd headline. I think it's pretty funny. They don't really go into the nitty gritty of things. It's more about just making jokes about literally kind of anything that's been happening in the news, F1 wise.
Laura Mullett.
I actually really enjoy it. And like, I am exactly what you just described, Rory. I dip in and out of Drive to Survive. I love all the politics and the drama of it. I just couldn't believe how exciting it was. Jerry Halliwell is married to the guy that runs Red Bull. It's all just too much. But one thing I found about this podcast was it reminds me of like when I started listening to podcasts kind of back in 2015, I feel like they were a little bit more raw, a little bit more bantery. Like these two friends have a chemistry. I feel like I'm nearly eavesdropping. I can passively listen to it. They're kind of laughing about pop culture. They're taking the mick out of each other. There's a, you know, there's a bit of a kind of an alignment of Australian humour and Irish humour, I think, that does kind of crisscross sometimes where it's very, very lighthearted. But sometimes that's exactly what we need.
You see, I've watched Drive to Survive right from the very first season and I absolutely love it. I wasn't a Formula One fan or nut prior to this, but I've really enjoyed the Netflix series. So when I heard this is the podcast we were going to be talking about last week, I thought, brilliant, you know, I'll have be well enough up in the knowledge of all this. I like Christian Horner in it. I like your man, what is he, Wolf from Mercedes?
Wolf.
Yeah, you know, so I thought I have enough of a knowledge base to enjoy this. I felt really let down in the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, you know when comedians are, like obviously they're trying to be very funny. Yeah. I just didn't find it funny.
Okay.
And I didn't feel that actually that there was enough of the Formula One gossip, now that I think I'm so in the know about it. But you know, I kind of didn't really know, I felt I didn't know what it was. If it's comedy or Formula One.
That's one of the heavier criticisms. I think a lot of people that are heavy into Formula One and maybe feel there's not enough analytical stuff, like they're kind of jeering about kind of food. And like there's one episode completely dedicated to pasta because I thought it was so funny. There was a pasta sponsor for Bahrain. And, you know, one thing I have to say now, I think everyone has different senses of humour, but I remember them laughing about something and I just found it funny. And maybe you have to be in the mindset or the mood for it, but they were laughing about grass. Some grass went on fire somewhere and no one got hurt now, thank God. But they were just laughing, saying, oh, they're going to put it out with chemicals. They were like, sure, that's going to make it worse, you know. But it was as if they were panicking, as if it was their problem. But I don't know, I like their best friendship and that they kind of tear each other down and lift each other up simultaneously.
They have a good energy and especially like they do go off the rails a lot. But I think that kind of sometimes is a good sign for a podcast if it can go completely off topic and still kind of have you hooked. They did two episodes about the conclave, I think, kind of. So they called one called like Follow the Safety Car, dunno. And they did like a whole starting grid, but it was all the possible popes that could happen. You're right. I don't know. It's definitely current.
How many episodes? I listened to about 2.5.
I listened to 4 of the newest season and I listened to the first ever one. The first ever one was a bit loosey goosey, but I think the last 4 that I listened to obviously had a bit of a rhyme and reason to them. They're obviously not putting them out weekly anymore. They seem to be a little bit more staggered. But yeah, like as you're saying, like I understand what you mean. I think maybe they're quite niche. I think if you watch Drive to Survive, you were into it, but you want to learn more. Maybe this is something that kind of supplements, you know, reading articles and knowing some of the the prime people who are involved. And the sponsorships, yeah. like, it's very rare to hear people riffing off on a podcast laughing about sponsors. Like, they were just completely taking the mick out of advertising campaigns and different things.
Yeah.
That probably is a bit risque if you're trying to be in that world and make something of yourself. But I think Formula One people like it because they can't be bought.
I thought it would be more like Drive to Survive, the Netflix series.
The problem with Drive to Survive
less like it.
Is technically it's like a year behind always.
Right.
So when you watch it in like February or whenever when it comes out, the next season's just about to start. So by the time the next season ends, then it's like the previous thing. So they're talking about current stuff, which is probably why you might have missed a couple things, especially these new drivers.
Yeah, I was going to say there was new drivers' names I didn't know.
Yeah, so like
I like
Jack
to picture
Doohan
people as well. I'm very visual.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny. One thing I liked as well was that they're short episodes. I was looking at this other one called, I think, the Red Flags podcast. It's kind of a similar thing, but those episodes are like an hour long, something like that.
But tell me, so it's interesting because we're two new, you know, converts with a passing interest.
Bandwagon jumpers, just be honest.
There's no bandwagon I wouldn't get on.
Like, I knew no enough as well.
But you are a huge Formula One fan.
Yeah,
right? Formula One people like this podcast?
They'd have to, surely.
Really?
I think so. I don't know, because especially if you're like a diehard fan and you're kind of in the know about everything, you're probably going to find something funny because they're throwing a million jokes at you a minute.
Jeez, I didn't find the jokes.
It's a bit like Gogglebox, right? So, except they're not watching Drive to Survive, they're watching the actual races. I feel like that's the best comparison for me is they're watching it, they're kind of laughing at people, they're laughing at the commentators that are trying to think of things on the spot and they say really random, kind of ridiculous things. And some of them sound like I have a little bit of an innuendo. And these two chaps seem to find that hilarious.
They just run with it.
You know?
Do the Formula One fans like the Netflix Drive to Survive or do they kind of look down their nose at it?
I think when it started, it was really good. And then later on, they started turning down their nose because what Drive to Survive does is they edit a lot. So they'll have like a bit from this race, but they make it look like it's happening at a current race just to enhance the drama. So I started watching Drive to Survive. I'll give all credit to my sister, who I would expect is... you know, wants me to say this. She got me into F1.
Right.
I started watching Drive to Survive, then went into the races. I barely watch Drive to Survive now because I kind of know everything already. I think, if you're a diehard F1 fan, you're probably not caring too much about Drive to Survive now.
There's a lot of kind of shows like this, isn't there? You've there's a cheerleading series one too, isn't there? America's Sweethearts. Was it Full Swing? Was the golf Netflix series?
It was. I think Drive to Survive definitely started the trend, but every sport is trying to have their own kind of version of that now.
Well, I think it's just, I mean, it's so opportune to monetize. I mean, it's such an exciting world. And I think when you look at them having like, you know, the Grand Prix or whatever, if I think it's called that in Monaco, and then they're talking about Dua Lipa and everything and all these amazing big celebrities there, whatever, like it has such star attraction. And I think it brings people together, which again is amazing for these brands. Like they were laughing as well about one of the cars was like a chameleon kind of vibes, but sure, it had loads of branding on it. So it's not exactly going to blend into the racetrack when there's bloody stuff everywhere, you know. But I think the sponsors and the way they kind of play around with it, there's a theatrical side to F1 that I think not a lot of sports have. And I think if you like that sort of drama, it can be quite interesting to pull people in.
There's also huge money in it. And that, I think, that sort of breeds, you know, a lot of interest for your normal non-Formula One viewer because... you know, there's all the fanfare that comes with it. There's the style.
A friend of mine went over to see one of the races recently and she got into it kind of through Drive to Survive and is now really passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's getting these kind of cool F1 outfits, kind of inspired things to go. But she actually went with a travel company. I think there was some kind of package deal where like people want to go over to socialise and meet, you know, meet people and just, I suppose, maybe... see how the other half lives, maybe.
Yeah, look, there's also a rugby version of this too, and I'd say it's very much opened up the kind of the sports world to people who would never have cared. You know, 5-6 years ago, I wouldn't have known a thing about Formula One, and now there's probably huge new audiences for all of these kind of sports. Just on the Reserve Drivers podcasts, do they interview guests much?
No, I don't think so. I think the only time I heard it happen was one of the presenters was at, I think, the Australian Grand Prix, and he talked to one of the drivers, and he asked him like, about how he makes his bolognese.
I heard
like,
this one. Oh my God, I wouldn't even count that as a guest though. It was just like a 20 second clip.
Yeah, I guess not then. Yeah, but that's the kind
one
of them
is, one, so one of them is a TV star, like is on TV, and I think the other one isn't. And then he got his friend as a guest on or whatever. But I don't know, I get what you mean, Andrea, but I think if you listen to enough of them, you kind of start to get it. I was a bit lost when I first waded in. I was like, what are they talking about? But then you sort of adjust and then you kind of get the chemistry between them. And I do think they're good.
How many stars out of five, Rory?
I'd give it a strong four.
A strong four.
Yeah.
Laura?
I'd give it three, but I think they're really good. I think it's just not my area, but I'm interested in F1. I want to learn more. Maybe if I was a little bit more up on what's happening. Like, I know I should have known that Drive to Survive is a season behind. That just didn't make
That didn't
absorb that until now. But yeah, it's interesting, definitely.
Would you recommend it to sort of the general podcast audience if they're looking for a new listen?
Because I really fell for their humour and their chemistry. That's really sold me. So if you want to go into it with like even cursory F1 knowledge and just accept that you might not get every single joke. Yeah, I think you should go for it.
But you can also not be a Formula One fan and just, as Rory says, if comedy's your thing, maybe it's for you.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know what? I suppose we're always kind of constantly learning. I think there was, because it was the food and the pop culture side, I could pick up on elements of it. And the people they were talking about, like, I think a lot of us do this. If you hear it on the radio or something, I Google things as I'm listening to something. I'm like, oh, that's who it is. Yeah, and then I suppose it gives me context. So if you're a little bit lost, you know, there's always ChatGPT.
Well, we're talking about the Formula One podcast, The Reserve Drivers. That is our recommendation. A strong four and a three from Rory Galvin and Laura Mullett this afternoon. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Thanks a million, folks, for joining us here on the show today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.